Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Joe Rose Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Hey, welcome back to the 7 o'clock hour. As Manny Diaz is going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes from now, talk to Miami Hurricanes defensive coordinator. As they are undefeated and just been just a great story. Just, you know, it's one thing going back on the Miami Hurricane teams when they were really good and you looked at the talent and said, oh, yeah, they're going to win the Big East. They're going to go undefeated in the Big East. They just got to beat Florida State. They'll blow through Michigan and Notre Dame and everybody else, and they'll play in the national championship game, right?
Yep.
And it happened a lot.
You saw the talent on the team
one
and
loss
you knew it. Yeah.
Or undefeated.
Yeah.
But this one, if every Hurricane fan was to be honest, not just me, nobody saw this one coming, that you got a chance to finish the season. If you beat Pitt on the road Friday at 12 o'clock, you got a chance to go undefeated in the regular season. There's not one person out there right now that can tell me, no, Joe.
They're lying.
You're
if they
wrong.
Say they're lying.
I knew we'd go undefeated with a Malik Rozier quarterback. I knew. Hell, we didn't even know he was going to start. We all thought the freshman was going to start.
Perry, yes.
We thought the true freshman was going to come in, and Malik took that job. He must, in those scrimmages, those private scrimmages, got the job and has been, I'd have to give him the MVP of the team.
I mean, what else? Who else on that team?
Well, you got a lot of nice stories. You got a lot of guys that have played well. You've got a lot of other guys. I mean, that group of receivers have all made big plays. But, right.
He's been the story.
You have to go defense if you're going to go MVP of the team, wouldn't
Jaquan
you?
Jaquan Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
him?
You have to go defense. They made the biggest plays this year.
No. Malik Rozier touches the ball every snap. He's going to be your MVP. Nothing has seen that. There's been different guys have rotated on that defense have had huge plays. Although I do agree, Johnson.
Michael Jackson, too, had a pretty good season,
I think
too.
They both sitting there with four picks now and have made a bunch of – but they've had – look at every game. Look at everybody on the turnover chain list.
We even have
a turnover chain list now.
I told you, Alex Dono's got a tracker, turnover chain tracker. I almost got the
– But Jaquan Johnson could be the best player at his position in the country.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
That could be possible, yeah.
But what's that have to do
with... So that would make him your team MVP?
No. Like, how? Why? Only you would come out and say somebody besides a quarterback who has made, and by the way, played all his best football in the second half when it counts. Look at the throws he's made at the end of games. I can't believe he's even got me even thinking about debating it. Only you would even bring it up. Think about this. Look at all the throws Malik has made. Even if he's thrown a pick or two early in a game, look at how he's played, either running the ball at the end of games or the throws he's made to the back shoulder to win some games. And there's been, you know, some lucky. There was a tip pass that got lucky to keep a drive going. But that throw he made against Florida State.
That was amazing.
Under everything.
Yeah. No, that was amazing. 23 touchdowns, 9 interceptions on the season.
But you left out the running.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't. That's just passing. I haven't put any of the rushing up there. 377 yards, 5 touchdowns rushing.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to be. Mark Walton might have been the guy if he stayed healthy. You know, that's the sad part.
Yeah.
But you turn around and Travis Homer's looking at 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he's at 849 right now.
So There have been a whole
Braxton
bunch
Berrios,
of...
Braxton Berrios, by the way, has to enter that conversation. I mean, he's made some huge plays.
Huge. Yeah. Eight touchdowns.
Really Braxton Berrios had a great year, but you can't put Braxton... Even if Braxton was listening right now, he's like, you can't put me in the MVP of the quarterback because I'm having a good year in the slot and returning kicks. I mean, it's just...
Not only is he the MVP, probably close. The team, but probably the best story on the team because you didn't know what you were going to get from him in the beginning of the year. If he had a mediocre season, I don't think that would have surprised a lot of people either.
Look at what Brad Kaya took over a quarterback. And he
Look what Malik Rozier's doing to Brad
games.
Kaya's 4 years here.
Yeah.
Well, in one season.
He's made some big throws, but also that
ability. Run the ball.
That quarterback
Something
draw.
Brad didn't have.
Yeah. Didn't have, no.
Didn't have it.
Not even
no,
close.
No rip on Brad, but Rozier in
How
one year.
How do we turn this into a negative thing, though? Like
Well, now we're ripping Brad. Now we're ripping Kaya.
No, I'm not ripping Kaya,
no,
but
no,
it's
I'm
like
saying, just
because
in general.
I'm leaving a defense. Like, there's been so many good defensive players that they're one of the top teams for sacks and takeaways, as in turnovers, because of the whole defense. They got good players across the board. They don't have any weaknesses on that in that defense.
But what's negative about this discussion, though? I don't understand. Like, you're debating an undefeated team. Who's the best player on the team? Like, how is that a negative
discussion?
Just
telling you, the MVP is one guy, clearly.
Okay, well, people can disagree with you, clearly.
I agree. I think it's Rozier.
Yeah.
But I do think there's two defensive backs that are probably second and third on that list.
Had a great season.
Yeah. Eight touchdowns for Braxton.
The one guy, as crazy as this has been, that's been injured and not close to his freshman year has been Amon Richards. As crazy as that's been. And they got to get him. Last game, we started to see some.
I hear that every week. I don't want to hear that anymore. I've heard that every week for the last 6 weeks.
Just don't think
he's... It's time to get him on in the game. We got to get him going. We got to get him going. No, you at this point, you don't. It'd be great if he does. But they're not losing games because he's not in it.
He's got a bunch of other guys.
Guys are stepping up all over.
Better. Yeah. He's got a bunch of other guys playing a lot better.
Amon Richards is the most talented wide receiver on that roster, I think. The difference is they do not need him to win games.
The difference is I just think as these games get tougher, like they do need him for Clemson.
Okay.
They need him to line up where everybody, when they're putting their game plans together, going, we got to watch Amon Richards. He looks healthy again.
He's got 21 catches for 392 yards and 2 touchdowns this year.
Right.
There's without him on the roster, it's not they're not they don't have 3 losses.
No.
You know what I mean? So I understand that. I understand we've been talking about this dynamic all year long with a hamstring in the beginning of the season. That's 2. That's fine. But you got 9 other guys, 10 other guys that are stepping up and playing
right.
well.
No.
So I'm okay with that. If he comes out and he plays great, this is the Stacey Coley argument. This is the Stacey Coley argument. Oh, when is he going to step up and play? When is he was missing for a whole season. They played pretty good without him. He comes up and he plays great.
Stacey Coley had a good year last year.
Last year he finally did.
Right.
Maybe Amon has one next year.
No, he's only a sophomore.
I know. But every week we talk about that. Well, this is the week to get
trying
him back.
Trying to play through a pulled hamstring.
It's not easy. We could tell.
You're a speed guy.
Yeah.
And his frustration has made it very difficult. No question.
But because of his injury, probably look at all the other guys that are kind of stepping up.
We're going to talk some more Canes. We got more Cane stuff. Manny Diaz, Canes defensive coordinator, going to join us. And speaking of turnover chain, Solo D. Solo D's coming in studio. He said, I don't want to call in on AM. I want to come into the studio and
Might
do some
well.
Of the show.
Might as well.
Yeah.
We saw the live performance at JT's ping pong tournament.
How many turnover chains do you do? Would we say 5? No, that's about 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll take a break here.
Chain
we'll have
you.
Some more with Manny Diaz right after this break.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Well, after listening to that pick six, I just got goosebumps again, man. That was unbelievable. Jaquan Johnson tying that game up at 28 apiece. Hurricanes go on and score 30 straight points, get a win to stay undefeated. Manny Diaz, the Miami Hurricanes defensive coordinator, joins us this morning. Manny, good morning. How you doing?
Doing great, Joe. How are you doing?
Man, we're doing great. And, boy, I thought that play – just kind of going back and forth, and I felt like, well, they'll come back. But I thought that pick six, that just really turned that whole, flipped that whole game. Did you feel like that really got it going?
Yeah, you know, when you're not playing at your best, which obviously we weren't, sometimes it just takes, you know, one of your leaders to step up and make a play, and that's what Jaquan Johnson has been for us all year. No surprise that it was him. And the moment wasn't too big for him. And from that point on, you could really sense that we'd, you know, go on and take control of the game from there.
Man, I want to ask you, Benkert had a heck of a game at one point. I think he was 18 and 19 or something. He's doing little rollouts. Did they do anything when he got off to such a hot start there through two and a half quarters? Was it the rollouts that threw you off a little bit? Looks like he was getting outside the pocket a little bit, having success on some big plays.
No, they do a lot of things in terms of, you know, pre-snap movements and shifting and things like that. There's a combination of two things. We played very poorly. We had some things that had not happened to us all year in the back end in terms of just busting our matchups on the backside. And then on the flip side, you have to give him credit because the guy played out of his mind.
He did play. He made some great throws, boy.
Yeah, like so when we were in really good coverage position, he still put it on the money. And then obviously there was a couple of instances where we just completely did not. We knew what he did well. We knew that there were certain plays that he did throw the ball well. But it was a combination of they executed at a very high level, and then we just were just like Santa Claus giving away presents. And that's what we knew we could. Once we stopped helping them, you know, and we move some guys around in the back end. And once we stopped helping him, I think we started playing a lot better.
Manny, ACC Defensive Back of the Week for the third straight week, Jaquan Johnson. We just heard the highlight. We just talked about him for a second. He's playing at a very high level right now, and I know that some guys step up during the season, towards the end of the season when you need big plays. But the last couple weeks for you, this guy has been, you know, the defensive MVP from what I'm seeing. What are you seeing on tape after the games also about Jaquan?
Well, what's neat about Jaquan is that he's been playing at a high level since the first game of the season. What's been great to see is that he has made, you know, more of the sort of the obvious big plays that everybody can see, you know, whether it's interceptions or being involved in enforcing fumbles and things like that, which, you know, ideally that's what gets you, you know, the national type of attention of playing at an All-American level, which he really is. But all year, even when he was not intercepting passes, running back for touchdowns, he was playing at as high of a level as anyone we have in our defense. So it's good to see him make those bigger plays that really, get him the national love.
Hey, Manny, I don't know if you saw this from Joe Reed from Virginia, his comments. I got to read these because they're just unbelievable. I couldn't believe a player from another team said this. The turnover chain sparked Miami. Without the chain, they would be a different defense. Look at what you've created, man. They're running over there and going, "Oh, we're screwed now." They're putting that damn chain on.
Well, it does back up a little bit what we started to suspect a week ago, is that it does seem to get into the heads of the other team. But again, that is still not. It's funny, during the course of the week, the way we practice, you'd be amazed for all the turnovers we're getting, how little we actually talk about it during the week. You know, nobody sees the chain during the week. We still want to base ourselves on the idea of what creates turnovers instead of just, you know, you think we're all we're doing is sitting around saying, how are we going to get a turnover?
Right.
We want to stop the run. And we want to affect the quarterback, and we affect the quarterback with a great pass rush and being solid in our pass coverage. And then if you do that, it's just, you know, it to me, it's not luck. The turnovers come after that. So, you know, again, our players learned a valuable lesson. They learned about playing to the standard of Miami, and that the opponent really doesn't matter. And you know, you could warn them all week before the Virginia game, coming off the two emotional games, and you can talk to them about it. You can show them examples of it.
Right.
But listen, we're still learning. We're still learning as a program what it takes to be at your best every week. And what I told the team told the defense after the game, what I was most proud of is that it is not hard to play good every now and then. And that's why Virginia was so proud of themselves at halftime, because they had played very well at a very high level. for a half. What is very hard in college football is to play and be the best team on the field every week. That's very, very hard. And it's the only sport that really demands that you almost have to win all your games, right, to have a chance. There's no, you know, there's no 16-team playoff, or we're not playing 82 or 162 games to get in, right? So the respect I have for our guys to find the mental toughness to not panic and to walk them down twice from being down 14 points is no small thing. As a coach, you know, there's a lot of things you're always proud of, but the mental toughness of your team is something. When you have that, man, that's what all great championship teams have.
Manny, when you look at all the different defensive stats, the big ones, you guys are top three in sacks, top three in interceptions and fumble recoveries. You guys are at the top just about. Is there any one stat? I know obviously winning games is the most important one. Is there any one stat that's most important to you?
Well, you know, points, right? Because points is what correlates to winning.
Yes.
How do we not score points? How do we not give up points? Well, there's two ways. Don't give up long touchdowns. We had only given up one all year. We gave up four to Virginia. That's unacceptable. I think we're number fourth in the country in red zone touchdown percentage allowed. So when people get in our red zone, they don't score touchdowns. So the combination, if we don't give up long touchdown passes, mm-hmm. or long touchdown runs, and then when people get in our red zone, that's where the mental toughness of your team kicks in. You don't let people score. We're gonna hold the score down. You know, everybody asked me all offseason, you know, last year you guys ranked this in total defense, and how, you know, what do you expect this year? What's the goal? Top five, whatever. And I told everybody, I said, all I want to do is win more games. And I was like, well, yeah, okay. What do you really mean? I'm like, I want to win more games.
Right.
And we are doing, you know, our formula of how we win games is we're seeing that come through, and the turnovers, which again we did not get last year, and some of those games in October we lost that we could have won if we'd got more turnovers. Those matter, man, because, you know, hey, listen, our league is known for being in a lot of close games, and turnovers often will make the difference.
Coach, I know you're a South Florida guy. I grew up down here also. I grew up in the Orange Bowl. I grew up for Dolphin games on Sunday, Canes games on Saturday. I remember what it felt like for those Notre Dame games in the late 80s and the FSU games. You grew up in this also, but now you're coaching in the last 3 weeks in that stadium. I have seen the stadium erupt, even for a noon game when you had 60,000-plus there last weekend. What's that like for you and the coaching staff and the players when you look around and you feel what that stadium feels like? And does it compare at all to those old OB games?
I think it does. I think it's been awesome. I think the fans have been unbelievable. And I think what our players are sensing, I know defensively, is they're getting the feel of when a defense has the advantage of that home crowd behind them. You know, I think it was one of Trent Harris' sacks in the Notre Dame game. You know, he jumps off the ball to tackle, can't hear the snap count. You know, and you just remember what it was like in the old Orange Bowl, and especially when the ball moved down to the west end zone down there. You weren't going to score on offense. I mean, you wanted, you know, you almost could feel in the old Orange Bowl that, you know, the other team had to be going to the east, to the open end of the Orange Bowl, to have a chance. And now this stadium doesn't have an open end, you know. And then because, you know, we're really mean, we put a roof on it, so it's super loud in there now. And I think you saw it in the third quarter. You know, we had Virginia backed up against that west end zone. You know, that's where the pick six occurred. And then we pinned them down there deep one time and got a three and out, which I think we turned around and kicked the field goal, which put us up our first lead, which we would never relinquish. So with the, you know, we talked to the defensive guys, hey, every time you take the field, you know, acknowledge the crowd, get them going. And they've been fantastic.
Manny, what are you hearing from recruits during this run? Speaking of those last three games, I know you guys have had a chance to get all your top guys out there standing on that sideline to get a feel for this thing. It's got to be good for business, man.
Well, yeah, because like what Zach said, you know, we've seen this before, right? But they've not seen this. You know, if you're 18 years old, you're walking in that stadium going, "Holy cow! You know, this is a big time thing that I've not seen before." So, and it's not just them. I mean, it's the ones that are in eighth grade right now that don't even know that, you know, no one even knows they're going to develop into big time players, and that they're walking around, you know, and seeing how this town is energized, and seeing, you know, old ladies wearing turnover chains and things like that. And this to them is the new normal. They're like, okay, I get it. You know, this is what it's like when the Canes are rolling. So our staff and the way that we're recruiting and the reception that we're getting, everything is very positive, and winning helps, you know, and the fact that we've got an extra game to play next week is what the goals of this program are really all about.
Manny, you get a good chuckle when you get to watch, you know, whether it's SportsCenter or something after one of the games at night, and you see one of the other teams around the country with their own version of the turnover chain or one of these things that's going around. You kind of get a good laugh at that, knowing that you guys have done something around the country now that people are trying to imitate.
Well, there's no doubt, and isn't that what Miami? You know, I mean, that's what Miami did. I mean, Miami was a trendsetter back in the day. You know, everybody secretly deep down inside wants to be a Hurricane. And so it is funny. We could not have predicted this, but it certainly turned into another thing that the rest of, you know, pretty much everyone else that plays college football is envious of and wishing that they were a Hurricane.
Manny, it's been unbelievable. It really has. By the way, do you watch the poll show tonight, the playoff poll, to see where it is, or could you care less at this point?
Only unless they tell us that we don't have to play our next two games to get in. But I think they're going to tell us. I think they're going to tell us we have to go beat Pitt and then go beat Clemson. So again, we are blessed because we control our own destiny, right? If we were in a situation where we needed something else to happen, we would probably pay more attention to that. But you do everything you can to be on Thanksgiving week and just say, hey, listen, you know, take care of your business, worry about Miami, and we're in. And that's pretty cool. So, you know, everything else really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Defensive coordinator for the undefeated Miami Hurricanes. I can't believe I'm saying this late in the season
Friday,
with one game to
12
go.
12 o'clock.
Chance noon to go undefeated. Game. That's yeah, right. That's right. Best of luck, Coach, on Friday. We'll talk to you again soon. And we'll definitely talk to you before, hopefully, that ACC championship game in a couple of weeks also.
You got it, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right.
Back
you too,
you,
Coach.
Thanks,
you too, Coach.
Appreciate that.
Manny Diaz. What a great story this is right now. It is. And a South Florida guy and Manny Diaz, too, talking about the Orange Bowl. And
I just think he kind of started this thing.
I know.
And it just got this whole.
He's got a smile, though, when he puts on SportsCenter at, you know, after a noon game and he gets home later that night. He puts on the news
you
see Oregon and a couple other teams with their version of the turnover chain.
You got people now, like, I saw like 5 shirts yesterday.
Yep.
Not even game day. Like, mm-hmm. going around wearing turnover chains.
Places are sold out of those
shirts. They're everywhere. Manny came up with this idea. You got some former players actually making a lot of money on them with these unbelievable sales of these mm-hmm. shirts.
Yep.
And the chains.
Yep.
I'm guessing fake chains because you buy the real ones.
It's going to cost you a pretty penny if you do the real one, yeah. Maybe spend the $1.50 or whatever it is on the replica one at that
point. Radio.com. Radio.com. It's time now to go behind the scenes in the NFL with Super Agent Drew Rosenhaus on the Joe Rose Show. Brought to you by JM Lexus. When you think Lexus, think JM Lexus. Now, here's Drew and the Big Dog on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Well, I'm glad our relationship's better with Drew than Jerry Jones and the commissioner, Roger Goodell, are having right now.
Are you sure? Have you asked Drew lately if that's okay?
Or? It can be.
Yeah, so I'll make sure.
Drew Rosenhaus joins us this morning. Drew, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. I'll tell you what. It would be great for the NFL just to kind of get back to enjoying football. Like the game last night was a sensational game between the Falcons and the Seahawks, and what a power struggle between arguably the NFL's most powerful owner in Jerry Jones and the league's commissioner. It sounds like Jerry Jones, you know, is on a mission to make sure that there's a new commissioner and or this new deal makes sense for the league, because boy, the amount of compensation that you hear talked about between $30 and $40 million a year is just stunning.
Yeah.
For any job. But you know, obviously Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell did not see eye to eye on the Ezekiel Elliott legal lease. And certainly if you burn a bridge there, you know, it's World War III. But there are 31 other owners. And in this league, one owner, Al Davis saw this, one owner cannot dominate. And there's a lot more owners in support of keeping Goodell than there isn't. And it certainly sounds like he's going to get a new deal, and it's going to be very lucrative. For Warrants, it sounds like Jerry Jones is not going to be on the winning side of it.
Drew, I want to ask you, as one of the most powerful sports agents we have, you've got a lot of players. You always downplay it, but you got a lot of control. The union keeps you up on things and everything else. You think Roger Goodell's done a good job?
I think, all in all, he's got a very tough job.
It is a tough job, but do you think he's done a good job?
I'd say that he's done a solid job. I think he's a guy that I've dealt with him quite a bit on a personal basis. And in the 30 years I've done this, he's been, in my mind, the hardest working commissioner and the one that's been the closest to the actual players in the game itself. So, yeah, I'm a supporter of Goodell among, I'm not in a position to make a difference there, but I have respect for him. And if you said to me, Drew, would you prefer he continue to be the commissioner or somebody else, I would say I prefer for him to be the commissioner. The league could use continuity from a leadership standpoint. There are a lot of issues in play right now. I think that will take care of themselves. I do think he's the right man for the job, and now's not the time to make a change.
Drew, I think it's obvious to me, and I'm sure to other people out there that watch the NFL, this is just not good publicity for the NFL when you have owners fighting the commissioner and other owners going against other owners. Like, this has got to be something that's in a meeting that someone says, guys, we need to stop this. Don't you think that something needs to come to fruition here between the owners and Goodell so it's not just the news we talk about every day?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's going to happen very soon. Zach, and it's my prediction that this is going to be a non-story. I don't think we're going to see the nuclear option here between Jerry Jones and the NFL. I don't anticipate litigation. He's just too smart. He's certainly been an unbelievable asset to the NFL. That's why Jerry Jones is in the Hall of Fame. He's been one of the most revolutionary owners. What he brought a style of business to the NFL off the field that changed the way the league does things. I've got an unbelievable amount of respect for Jones and what he's done for the business of the NFL. The players absolutely love him. I don't see this thing getting any worse. I think it'll simmer down from here, and we'll see Goodell get a new contract, and I bet he and Jones work things out. That's my opinion.
Hey, Drew, we were just talking to Manny Diaz. We just had him on, a Miami Hurricanes defensive coordinator. I wanted to ask you, from a standpoint of draftable guys, they're undefeated. They've obviously got talent on the team. Are there a lot of guys? You talked about Mark Walton a couple weeks ago. Are there other guys that look pretty draftable at a decent round?
Well, this is assuming let's talk about the seniors. They have a number of seniors that are going to play in the NFL next year. Guys like Christopher Herndon, the tight end, Braxton Berrios, the receiver, Michael Badgley, the kicker, certainly Chad Thomas, the defensive end.
Right.
There's a number. KC McDermott, whose brother Shane I've represented for many years, This is a good group of seniors, and all of those guys are going to play in the NFL. And then there's a number of underclassmen, and I'd rather not speculate about those guys because, who knows whether or not they'll come out. They're in the middle of the season, but they're loaded with underclassmen. And whether or not they come out or not will depend on those individual players and how the season plays out. Certainly Miami is one of the best teams in the country. And historically, when you see that, they're typically full of high draft picks. And I don't think this year will be any different. I believe the Hurricanes will have a star-studded group of NFL prospects when all is said and done.
Star-studded. I could talk about someone in who owns a car dealership is pretty star-studded out there. JM Lexus, right?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, if we're bringing up star-studded.
You're talking about Jim Dunn at JM Lexus? Oh, yeah.
Well done. And, you know, my mind is starting to churn now with the holiday season coming up, and I'm trying to think about the best gifts for my family and friends, my wife. And believe me, for all of our audience out there, there's nothing that makes a special person happier than a new Lexus from JM Lexus. It's the holiday season. You're going to see the greatest deals you can possibly get. We got Black Friday coming up. Take it over to JM Lexus right off of the turnpike on Sample Road. We have the number one volume Lexus dealer right here in South Florida. Magnificent dealership. Reason JM Lexus is number one in all of the Lexus dealerships around the world is their ability to do the following. You're going to get the best price. They've got the best inventory. They have the best, obviously, the best selection, the best sales team, the best service department, the best follow-up, and the best people. Jim Dunn, the general manager, he's the real-life version of Santa Claus. You want to do business with Santa Claus? Go see Jim Dunn. And he'll take care of you. This is the time of the year to go see JM Lexus.
Drew, thank you, man. You take care of yourself.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Right, back
you
at
too,
you.
Drew.
Stay home with your family. Don't be out trying to do it. No, I don't want to see you at one of those three games on Thursday. I'll be very disappointed, Drew.
You got it, Jeff.
All right. Drew Rosenhaus joining
He's
us.
He's definitely going to a game. He doesn't miss Thursday game.
No, I think he stays home. Got the wife and the baby. He needs to stay home. Those guys will be fine. All three of those games, all his players will be fine. They'll be fine for that. Okay. We got 8 o'clock hour coming up. We got Solo D, Miami hip-hop artist. He's coming in studio.
He is. That's right.
With the turnover chain.
Turnover chain.
He's not going to sing it in here, though. I wouldn't have him sing on these AM.
No. We're in AM radio. Remember
if we were FM, now if we wanted to go down to Power 96.
Different story.
Or 99.9.
Now that would be a party.
Then we'd let him do his thing. Mm-hmm. But not on AM. We wouldn't do that.
Turnover chain.
No. It's good. It'd be good for our image, actually, to have him up here.
That's a good point. You're right.
Make things a little cooler up here.
Mm-hmm. This podcast was presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.